Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC. Hey, welcome to another edition of our Cubs Talk podcast here on NBC Sports Chicago. I'm David Kaplan. Doug Glanville, David DeJesus are with me as the Cubs and Rangers wrap up a series on Sunday. We look ahead to a series in Atlanta with the Atlanta Braves. And everything brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust, home of Cubs checking, and that really sweet WATM card. Okay, guys, so we saw Yu Darvish struggle on Saturday night. Couldn't locate. He struck out the first two guys, ended up in the first inning striking out three, but walking three, 35 pitches, and he lasted 2 2/3. Dougie, what was your takeaway from Yu Darvish? Concern or it's one start?
Well, definitely concern. I mean, you think about last year and, you know, outside of the injury, just the struggles even before that point. And, you know, it wasn't a good start. You just saw someone that maybe had a couple of good at-bats, the first two hitters, and then everything just fell apart at that point. And the location, the confidence, and it just looked like he was feeling for something to work. And, you know, that's not the way he wanted to go into the season.
And I was expecting him to come out and establish his fastball, the fastball that was 96 mile an hour in spring training. He was really sharp during spring training, and he looked really, really good after the first two batters of the season. But after that point, he started nibbling. He started not trusting his fastball, then going to his slider. And anytime he had a big pitch, 3-2, 1-2, 0-1, he threw that slider, and it just kept missing off the plate. So he, after this start, this was his career high in walks. And so he has to go back and really kind of establish, what type of pitcher do I want to be going forward? That's going to be a question that he has to ask himself, and Tommy Haddavi has to help him out with that answer.
Okay, so he said after the game, hey, no excuses. It was not the mound. It wasn't the weather. It wasn't my blister. I just didn't locate. I'll be better the next time out, and I'll work on it. It was cold there on Saturday night. Does that affect velocity, or once you get amped up, you're good?
Well, you have to warm up and maybe grip. And so, you know, you heard Carl Edwards Jr. also talk a little bit about the weather as a factor. And, it plays a role. But, you know, once again, this is not spring training anymore. I mean, this is not like we're not developing talent. You know, everybody's, you know, this is the game and the changes they made culturally, the coaching staff. I mean, they're going in trying to be better than that 95 win season a year ago where September things kind of fell apart. So although, you know, Darvish is coming from injury, we recognize there's a learning curve that he has to capture again. You know, the time's now, and how much patience they have with him sort of feeling for it remains to be seen.
How about concerns over Carl Edwards Jr.? He's got that funky new motion with nobody on base where it's Kershaw-like, where he stops. He just wasn't very good.
I mean, I don't know how he is going to keep going forward with that. Especially when runners are on base. It seemed yesterday when he had men on first and second, he tried to slide step, and his arm was just late, and that curveball was just hanging. He didn't have that sharp bite that he usually has when he's coming fresh off of his windup and attacking the zone. So he's going to have to come up with something that he can do no matter what. If there's runners on base, no one on, and he has to really go out there and master that, because right now he is in between. He is in between two, really, am I going to have to quick sidestep and get my arm forward, or just go back and really start from the beginning? So he has a lot of questions. He has a lot of work to do in the bullpen.
And it was a big distraction from the fact that the Rangers were outraged about his motion. So that plays a role in his confidence with it. They're arguing. They're coming off on the field. He's like, what's going on? Nobody said anything in spring training. But all of a sudden now, you know, game time, they're saying they're calling it out. So I think that didn't help his confidence of being able to say, okay, can I do this? Is this actually legal? So, you know, stuff was flat. Curveball was flat. Fastball location didn't have the velocity. All that leads to really a difficult outing and ultimately gave up the game-winning home run.
All right, on the good side of things, let's talk a little bit about Kyle Schwarber, because Joe Maddon told the media Sunday morning before Game 3 of the series, he said, I've not seen this look in his eyes since he was coming through our system and coming to the big leagues. He said his approach, everything is different. He looks amazing. He's got two bombs. So where are you on him?
I mean, look, I've always been high on Kyle Schwarber. I saw him play at Indiana in the regionals against Florida State, and he was already a major league hitter then. I mean, he was so far ahead. I mean, a guy like Luke Weaver, who's a very good pitcher in the major league, he made him look like he was like 6 years old. I mean, so Schwarber always struck me as a hitter that could go all fields with power. That was his strength, and it seemed like, you know, he came to the big leagues, he became like the splits guy, right? Okay, well, you play against righties and hit home runs and turn and burn, forget the entire left side of the field, which didn't make sense to his capability of being a guy who could hit for average. You can't dismiss the injury factor. He also came back from a very serious injury, and it takes time to get back into that confidence. But, you know, he's looking good so far, his approach, he's showing that he can have power the other way. And that's the bat they need because, you know, he's not hit for average. He'll get on base, a lot of strikeouts. And if they can get him to, you know, 280, 275 with power, that's going to be a huge asset.
And coming out of college, he was a hitter first. He can use the whole ballpark, and he wasn't scared to get to two strikes and shoot it the other way. He got away from that the last couple of years. He tried to start turning and burning, and you saw his hips, his head. We were watching his tape last year. His head was turning away from, he was almost looking into the first base dugout. So now he's focused on getting in his legs more. He's squatting down, and he is focused on hitting the inside half of the baseball. And that's going to keep him locked in, especially hopefully he'll get some more at-bats against left-handed pitchers, because I feel like he can still hit those guys, and he wants to be an everyday guy as well.
And he also said, I went back to how I hit. I'm not listening to so many voices. They've changed hitting coaches three times in 3 years. He said, I'm back to, as you said, the squattier hitter.
Yeah.
He said, that's where I had success. I'm sorry, but I'm going to do what's best for me.
And I remember that my first time in the big leagues when I got called up, I went 1-for-23. I'm hitting 043 on the board. and I was trying to do some things that our big league hitting coach was trying to tinker with my swing. So when I got sent back down, I went back to my high school swing. I had to really get that feeling in my head, the reason why I got to the big leagues. There has to be something that you can grasp that can give you some confidence in the big leagues. And it took me a while till I got confident, till I got my batting average up high enough to get called back up. And then I went on and had success. But you always have to go back and find that little thing that you can hold on to that, man, this got me here. This is something I can rely on. And every hitter has to have that self-assessment. And I think that's what Kyle Schwarber did this offseason.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. We'll come back. Another half of our podcast brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust, home of Cubs checking. When we come back, I'm going to ask these guys, there's new rules that the Cubs have laid down. The players very involved in setting these new ground rules up. These guys live that life. What's their take on it? We'll be right back. Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC. Welcome back to our Cubs Talk podcast here on NBC Sports Chicago. I'm David Kaplan with Doug Glanville and David DeJesus, Cubs and Rangers, completing their three-game set. Now the Cubs move on to Atlanta. But there was a big article last week before opening day, The Athletic, Sahadev Sharma and Patrick Mooney, with a deep dive into what the Cubs are doing to be different this year. They didn't add players. Instead, they said we're changing the culture a bit. Less alcohol on the team flight. Less guys eating fast food. More structured batting practice. John Lester said, I want guys out there for the national anthem. I want guys out there for team stretch. How much does that change what this team is about going forward?
Well, it's a complete change. And, you know, now results are going to be the question, but there's no question that they are making adjustments culturally because they didn't make a whole lot of big moves. The personnel is the same. And when you win 95 games, you can only say so much about how bad the year was. They didn't get the end result. But that's a lot of wins, considering that they were inconsistent and had struggles with the offense at different times. But the culture shift is important to recognize. A lot of coaching changes. And we were just talking earlier about hitting coaches. Well, when you go through a revolving door of coaches, you're not only the change in culture, but also questions come from players saying, well, wait a minute, what's the right way to hit? You've told me one thing one year, another thing another year, another thing another year. So it gives the players the responsibility to manage yourself to some degree, because there is that change.
And I think it's all comes across as accountability. Each guy has to be accountable for their actions. And you heard from Wilson Contreras, that interview with Kelly, he was really open. He stopped doing everything. He just really was resting on his laurels and what his numbers up to were at that point. And when Javi at the end of the season also, he's like, no one called me out after running or jogging to first base. So these guys are held accountable. Theo and everyone, all the staff went to different places to really dig in. What happened? They lost the pulse of the clubhouse, and they wanted to find it. I think
they lost accountability.
Exactly. The guys were just doing whatever they wanted, and I think these rules are to get guys focused on the main goal, and the main goal is winning a World Series. And all the guys seemed bought in on this whole little change that's going on.
I had Kyle Hendricks and Riz on radio last week, and I asked Kyle on Friday. He said, look, if we don't win the World Series again with this group, it's a failure. We failed. We have enough talent to win. 100%, we look at this team and go, we can't squander this opportunity. How do you respond to that?
Well, there's also an economic reality. You know, some of these young guys, the money's going to start flowing in, right? Whether it's Kyle Schwarber or Chris Bryant signs long-term deal, whatever happened. So they are going to have to make changes just for the fact that wave of youth is now becoming those experienced players that become very expensive. So they recognize that, they talk about the window, and they've moved a lot of young talent to get these guys. Soler and all these players have gone. We see it in the South Side, Jimenez. You know, these are guys who were part of the Cubs
Gleyber,
fabric.
Torres.
So I think there's some aspect of it recognizing that we have to seize the moment. And they're trying to do everything they can by still showing a vote of confidence that they didn't make a lot of personnel changes. We say, we have the right guys in the room. Now we have to just do things differently so they can win a world championship.
And also, John Lester's not getting any younger. Cole Hamels is on a one-year deal. How many more years is he going to be on the Cubs? And it really comes down to guys just playing the game. There's a lot of first-round picks. Who is going to be the guy that's going to get that contract? Who's going to be the money that they're spending on? Who's the face of the franchise? We were talking about in the back. Who is the guy that is going to be the face? Because right now, I think it's Anthony Rizzo. But going forward, is it Baez's team? Is it Chris Bryant? Schwarber has a big season. Is he back in the mix? There's a lot of question marks right now, but this is the time where Theo said that I'm trusting you guys out there, my 9, 10 guys, 11 guys, to go out there and do the job and show who the Cubs are.
Okay, so I got to ask a general baseball question. There was a statistical analysis that was tweeted out last week that said there is a hit on average every 9 minutes in a baseball game. And I said to the people who were dogging baseball, that's a skewed stat. That's a stupid stat, because I sit there, I might not see a hit for 9 minutes, but I might see 3 sensational defensive plays. I might see an unbelievable pitcher-batter matchup, and I might see 4 hits in a row. It's a bad stat. How would you respond?
Yeah, I agree. If it's all about hitting, you just put a ball on a tee and just, you know, let everybody hit. I mean, you know, there's multiple facets of baseball, and I think fans that are drawn to it are drawn to the fact that there's a lot of different skills. You're not just on offense. You're not just on defense. You're everything. You have multiple roles, and you have to excel at different ways that allow your team to win through these different components of the game. So, you know, baseball has that rhythm to it that's a little different. There's no clock. There's all these elements. So, you know, hits are certainly part of it. And as a hitter, yeah, I'd love to get hit every time, but I also valued it just, you know, more when I got Rob one at bat and then all of a sudden got the big hit in the 9th inning. I mean, you know, that's something to be recognized.
And another thing is exciting, DeGrom Scherzer. those guys going at putting pitches where they wanted. There's nothing wrong with a great pitching matchup, but people don't see that. This generation wants action, and I get it with my son. My son right now is at a point where he's almost liking basketball more than baseball because it's action, action, action. But he doesn't get it. He doesn't get to see the tinkering of, man, if I just throw my changeup, if I put it here, the mastery, the skills that these pitchers have, that they can put it where they want to at any moment. So, you know, I know there's the whole launch angle and there's a lot of thing about offenses slowing down, but there's something to a good pitching matchup and two guys dealing on the mound, going after each other. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that the fans and the people that are talking about speeding up the game, they're not seeing that at all.
Yeah, I have no problem if they want to say, hey, look, we don't want you getting out of the batter's box every single time to redo your gloves.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
We don't need to have 50 pitching changes. I get it. We're trying to fix a few things. But if you don't like baseball, right, the fact that I can shave 15 minutes off a game, you're not going to fall in love with the sport. Right. The fact that maybe there'll be two more hits in 9 minutes doesn't mean you're going to love the sport. As John Lester said, hey, man, you can have all the analytics, spin rate, and all that stuff. If you don't like the sport, you're not going to like the sport. If you do, you're going to love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a different game, and that's what sets it apart. You know, you can try to, you know, play to the middle, but baseball is one of those games that works very differently than these faster pace, you know, football, basketball. You know, so there's no question that fans who love baseball just have this like generational respect for the game, and you know, it's sort of passed on, and you know, the way that players connect by playing every single day. And these are sort of unique elements of the game that make it what it is.
Guys, thanks for your time.
All right, dude.
All right, that is another edition of our Cubs Talk podcast. We drop 2, 3, 4 of these a week as stories break. Luke Stuckmeyer usually is in this seat, and he'll have another podcast for you coming up later this week. Cubs and Braves, and then the Cubs and Brewers in Milwaukee before the Cubs come home on April 8th to start the home campaign of baseball 2019. Thanks to our great sponsors at Wintrust, home of Cubs checking. See you next time.